probably the hardest challenge in life. It emerges from two phrases in Parshas Noach. On the one hand, Noach is presented as Ish Tzadik Tamim Haya B'Darasav. And Chazal are ambivalent about whether to coronate him an ultimate Tzadik or a relative Tzadik. We don't really know what Noach's behavior was like. He's a person that's born with a lot of promise, Zayin Achameinu. According to Chazal, he invented plowshares, so he helped people plow. We don't really see too much of Noach's behavior before the flood, before the Mabul. And quite frankly, his behavior after the Mabul doesn't necessarily live up to the status of Noach Ish Tzadik. So why is he called a Tzadik? And he's the only person in the entire Sefer Bereishis called a Tzadik, except for one. This is a stunning title. Say what you want about his relative integrity and his relative piety. Couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu find a different word to describe this flawed hero, this questionable personality? And the answer is, I believe, because there's one thing he does that merits the term tzaddik. And it isn't a mikveh. It's a scary mikveh out there. Hot water. It isn't meditation on some mountain. The mountains are all covered. Why is he called a tzaddik? Because he supports the entire community for a year. Because he feeds animals and he feeds his wife and his children. That's all he does. Really, if you look at it, what great righteous act do we see from Noach? If you eliminate everything post the Mabul, because before the Mabul we see nothing. And we don't really see him building. Chazal talk about him building, but the Torah doesn't describe it. Hashem gives the order, and then the day comes. So the Torah doesn't describe the building. You say, well, it's the faith and the building. It's all true, but it's not in the actual text. What you have in the text is bringing animals into the Teva and feeding them. Which means that when you feed your family and you earn a living to feed your family, you're a tzaddik. Raising your family responsibly, feeding them, earning a living, as Noach did, makes you a tzaddik, as Noach was. And the only other person in Sefer Bereishis to be called a tzaddik, not by the Torah, but by Chazal, is interestingly enough, than Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, but Yosef. Yosef HaTzaddik, as opposed to Avraham Avinu. Why do Chazal call Yosef HaTzaddik? Because he and Noach share one thing. They each feed the entire world. Now for Noach, it's a little bit easier because the world is 8 people and some animals. For Yosef, it's an entire teeming population with hundreds of thousands, millions of people, but their tzidkus is expressed. So sometimes people are looking to be a tzaddik elsewhere. I have to find something else. I can't be a tzaddik in my day to day. So much of Yiddishkeit and Avodas Hashem is just behaving as you would behave otherwise, but just doing it l'shem shamayim. Rather than because you're just a good person and you're a good father. Every year I have this conversation around June time when boys are going to camp and they say, well, last year I was in camp but I was just a kid, I was a high school kid, I played ball, hung out. Now I'm a Ben Torah, so how can I possibly go back to camp? What should I do in camp? So I said, well, what did you do last year? I said, well, I was a good counselor and I took care of the kids. And so I said, just have the same type of summer, a little more learning, hopefully. Have the same type of summer. Now do it because you're an Oved Hashem, because it's good to be a good counselor and to take care of children and to help, because that's part of your Oved Hashem. So much is not only changing, some of it is change, but just continuing on your path, but framing it differently. I think you all want to be successful professionally. You want to raise your families. But that's part of your Avodas Hashem. That's the part. That's the core of your Avodas Hashem, especially in a world in which, for whatever reason, the world which we live in right now, in many parts of the Torah world, earning a living is frowned upon. Because it takes away time from Torah study. You can talk about that and judge it one way or another, but that's not the way we always were, and that's not the way we'll always will be. At a certain point in time, based on the evolution of the yeshiva world, based on post-World War II economics, who's to know what's going to happen in post-Corona economics, But for you to earn a living and raise your family means to be your tzaddik. But here's the catch. Once you engage in that world, you can go very quickly from being an ish tzaddik to being an Ish Adama, which is the second time Noach is described in the Parsha, Ve'echa Noach Ish Adama. And there's a difference between earning a living and being an Ish Adama. Ish Adama is man of the earth. Now again, we would look at man of the earth. He's pure, he's native, he's returning back to his pristine roots, his work ethic. That's not what the point is here. Ish Adama doesn't mean you're a farmer as opposed to a city corporate villain, and you're a pure country bumpkin, you're not involved in politics. Ish Adama means your whole life is work, and your whole life is money and bottom line and farming and agriculture, and you don't have ideals. You don't have that spirit. You don't think of something larger. You're not Ish Elokim like Moshe. Moshe transforms from Ish Mitzri into Ish Elokim. Noach devolves from Ish Tzadik into Ish Adama. And of course it's easy enough to become an Ish Adama if you don't work. If you don't work and your world is constantly the world of ideas and the world of values and ideas. And success in life is threading that needle, creating that balance. Being able to work and seeing it as your avodas Hashem, but making sure you don't become an Ish Adama, making sure there's something else larger than that you live for. What do you live for? I keep saying this. What are the ideals you live for? If you can't answer that question, you're hollowed out, and your profession has hollowed you out, because your only interest is professional advancement, and your only interest is comfort, and it can become selfish, and it can become hollow. And I promise you, you'll wake up one day in a long, long, long time, but it may be too late. Everyone wakes up from that hollow dream. At some point, you look in the mirror, and you have to see something looking back at you, and if you see a ghost, then it's frightening. At some point, you have to see meaning looking back at you. Oh, this is what I have accomplished, what I live for. This, at some point, the mirror catches up with everyone. So, the sooner you realize that, the better it is, the better. So, there are two different phrases, and somehow finding the balance between those two phrases, between recognizing there's nothing wrong with becoming a doctor, becoming a lawyer, becoming an accountant, becoming a computer programmer, finance, being dedicated to your work, seeing yourself as Osik Bishuva Shel Olam, not just there to punch the clock. That's why you have to be very, very careful before you choose a profession. There has to be some balancing between financial remuneration and personal gratification in a sense that you're contributing. Don't lock yourselves into jobs that are pointless and tasteless just because you have an extra zero. You will not find happiness. I promise you. It will be a really, really dreary life. Find that balance. Everyone has to find that balance between something they enjoy doing. And enjoyment can't just be I enjoy because of a stimulation. I enjoy because I feel like I'm contributing. Now, contributing comes on many levels. Obviously, there are professions that are more directly contributing to human welfare. Doctor, social worker, lawyer, teacher, mechanech. Those are the areas in which you're involved in day-to-day psychology, day-to-day interaction with people that directly benefits their life. You go home at night and say, I changed people's lives today. I healed X amount of people. I healed them mentally, emotionally. I taught them. I helped them. I protected their family. Then there are professions. Generally, they pay more. And you have to make a choice. But even if you choose to be a corporate lawyer, it has to be so that I'm upholding the law and I'm making sure that there has to be some feeling that you're contributing to the larger good, the larger. It's hard to live schizophrenic lives where you're especially today where the jobs are so dominant in your life. No one's working at 9 to 5. No one's punching the clock at 5 and coming home. You're working. You see your parents working. You know today's workforce today. Again, who knows how it will change when there's remote working, but it becomes your identity, becomes part of your life. It suddenly dominates your schedule. So there has to be some developmental payback to that. There has to be something, okay, I'm enjoying this, I feel like I'm creative, I'm producing, I can't just be, how can I make the most money, and it's, that type of lifestyle doesn't work. And it's a big circus, and going to work, and Kadashem Shemayim, and working hard, and being a role model for other people, and raising your family, and supporting your community. And I hope that some people will choose different ideals, because we're living in a time which we really, really need people to go beyond that. If everyone in your world just becomes professionals, and lawyers, and doctors, and with everything I just said about that, and then the mechanchim come from other worlds, then you'll be right back in many of the situations you faced growing up. We just didn't have mechanchim and rabbanim that you could fully identify with. And then we lose people's interest when you feel like the rabbanim don't understand you and don't identify with your way of life. And it's harder for you to say, well, I want to be serious about my religion because you don't see role models that you can identify with. At some point, people have to say, I don't think we're in a point of crisis, but we certainly could use more hands on deck. Okay, Sally, what's your question about that?